maybe the second part of the dating and marriage, like at 5, to turn into questions and answers, if it's okay on dating and marriage, because I'm sure the guys have a lot of questions. Thank you, Rick.
Good. Five. Water. I'll have a little water. What is a person supposed to look for in a girl when he's interested in getting married? Some people think that they're looking for a chavrusa. They're looking for a girl who's on the same level of intelligence as they are. They'll be able to learn with her. I don't think that's what marriage is all about. The wife doesn't necessarily have to be... It's okay if she is a chavrusa, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. People think that they have to share everything with their wife. I don't think that's correct either. The Chofetz Chaim writes that people make a mistake. They think ishti kegufa, just like there's no isa loshen hara. If I review in my mind all the negative things about somebody, so there's not there. If I tell to my wife ishti kegufa, it's like telling to myself. So he says it's not true. The halacha says you're not allowed to tell loshen hara to your wife either, unless you have something that's very aggravating. So the pasuk says doga b'levish yisicheno, and the Gemara has two interpretations. And the pasuk either yisicheno meliba, you should dismiss it from your mind, or yisicheno lachem, you should talk it out to someone else. And when you talk it out, then you get it off your chest. So the Chofetz Chaim says, how do we pasken? Is it yisicheno meliba, just dismiss it from your mind, yisicheno lachem? So he says, if it's a slight aggravation that lends itself to yisicheno meliba, so dismiss it from your mind. And if it's a major aggravation, it just doesn't go away, so then you have to get it off your chest by telling it over to someone else. So instead of going to a psychiatrist who's going to charge you a lot of money, so you can get it off your chest, tell your wife, okay, that's sometimes I tell aggravation to my wife. But the Chofetz Chaim points out that a lot of times the husband is aggravated in the office, then he comes home and tells his wife about the aggravation. Then the next day, the husband forgets about it. He moves on. He already told it to his wife. He got it off his chest. Then he moves on. And the wife is never going to forget this thing that someone aggravated her husband. You have to thank your wife after you get it off your chest and tell her, let's not talk about it anymore. Fine, finished, that's all. But the wife is not supposed to be a chavrusa. Bochum don't realize what they're supposed to look for in a wife. You have to look for balabasta. Does the girl know how to cook food? Does the girl know how to diaper a baby? Does the girl know how to keep a house neat and clean? A lot of the girls were in dormitories for the last 10 years. They don't know, and they live like slobs, and they don't know what it's like to keep a house neat and clean. If you're used to that kind of living, you lived in a dormitory, you would like that sloppy living. Isn't that it? So marry a slob. But if you like it at home, your mother keeps a nice, neat and clean house. So you should make sure that your wife is such a girl. You're looking for a girl who's going to be a balabasta. The Chumash tells us, when Eliezer Eved Avram was looking for a shidduch for Yitzchak, what did he look for? Chesed. Agmini na miat mayim bikadech. He tells the Rebbeinu Shlomo, I'm going to ask the girl for water, and the girl is going to be kind enough to give me the water. That's the one who's going to marry. That's what you have to look for in marriage. You have to look for a girl as a balach chesed. Marriage will only be successful if the couple is going to make a pshara. If each one is going to be stuck to his own, the boy was brought up in one family, the girl was brought up in a different family. Each family has a different style of doing things. They wear these kind of pajamas, they wear these kind of raincoats, whatever. So each one is going to stick to his way and going to be makbid. So you're not going to have shalom bayis. You have to have a pshara. I don't mean a pshara and shmiras on mitzvahs. You have to make sure that the girl is very observant also. If you are very observant, you want to remain observant, you have to make sure the girl is a religious girl. You can't rely on the fact that she loves you so much, so she's going to become religious after you're going to get married, or she's going to become religious now when you get engaged, because she's going to marry you. It's just not going to work out. Whatever she is now, that's what she's going to be later. You have to make sure the girl is an observant girl. If that's what you're looking for, that's what you should be looking for. So when I say that a happy marriage, shalom bayis, has to be based on a pshara, I don't mean a pshara and shmiras, I mean a pshara and mili di alma matters. You have to have a balas chesed. Each one has to give, has to be able to give in a little bit, not to be oimer al daita. It has to be exactly like this. The Ran on the Rif, the famous Ran, has a collection of drushes Aran, where he discusses this issue. Why did Avraham Avinu send Eliezer back to his hometown to get a shidduch from his family? They were all over the Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu had so many gerim who were such fine religious people. So why didn't he take one of the Bali Tshuva for his son Yitzchok? So the Ran explains that Hashkafe doesn't go over in the genes. But Midas Tevis, say things does go over in the genes. Avraham Avinu knew that the members of his family back in Aram Naharayim, or Apikursim of the Avodah Zarah, they were no good. He sent Eliezer to find if there's a girl there who is Shomeris Mitzvah, if there's a girl who is a monotheist. And he would prefer to have a monotheist from his family because he knew the members of his family are Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomer, Chassan, that Midas Tevis. You have to look for Midas Tevis. And the Ran explains, he thinks that that's genetic. So that's why Avraham wanted someone from his family who is a frumer girl, but who has this in her genes, the Rachmanis, Baishanis, and Gmilas Chasadim, as opposed to the Bali Tshuva from the of the Avodah Zarah. Fine, they had fine Ashkafas, but the Midas were not going to be transmitted in the blood. The Vilna Gaon is quoted in the commentary on Mishlei. The Vilna Gaon didn't write most of the Svarim we mentioned earlier today. Most of the Svarim that we have in the Vilna Gaon were not written by him. The Bi'ur HaGaon Shulchan Aruch was written, those were his notebooks. And his Svarim and his commentary on the Kabbalah Svarim, on Sefer Tznius and so on, those were written by the Gra himself. Everything else was written by the Talmidim. But the Talmidim of the Gra quote in the Sefer on Mishlei that the Vilna Gaon taught whenever the Gemara says "B'tchila olav b'machshav al asas kach lebesof asas kach," the original plan that Rabbanu Shalom had was to do like this, and then he changed his plan and he did like that. What do you mean? He changed his mind. Rabbanu Shalom originally thought like this, then he realized he made a mistake, changed his mind. So he thinks, no. Whenever it says that's the club. Whenever it says "B'tchila olav b'machshav lebesof asas kach lekach," means "Sof ma'aseh b'machshav tchila." "B'tchila olav b'machshav" means what was the tachlis? That's the way to reach that tachlis. And he gives a mashal, a person wants to build a house. So he comes to the location, then he starts digging a big ditch. What's he digging a ditch? You're going to make it harder. The ground is ground level, so build a house. No, if you don't make a strong foundation, so the house isn't going to hold. So mitchilo alav machshava of the ben adam to build a house. So lebesof, he digs a ditch in order to make a foundation. The tachlis is to build a house, and the method is to dig a ditch and to make a strong foundation. So the Gemara has such a comment. The Agadot has such a comment in Erev in mitchilo alav machshava liver shtaim. The Rebbeinu Shlom originally wanted to create Adam and Chava as two different bodies. Lebesof bara achas. Then he only created Adam and he made Chava from Adam. So what does it mean? Mitchila, that means mitchila the machshava, the sof ma'isim and machshava tchila. The Rebbeinu Shlom wanted man and woman should be separate. So like one of my rabbeim said, the woman should be in the kitchen and the husband should be in the base medrash. Okay, not exactly, but they have different roles in life. They don't have to be so lovey-dovey always. The husband and the wife have to be arm in arm. The husband has to do what he's supposed to do. The wife has to do what she's supposed to do. They're going to lead different lives, function differently in life. But the only way that marriage is going to be meaningful, the only way it's going to work together, the method is, you have to create, Kodesh Baruch Hu created Adam, and he made Chava from Adam. The Ravid, same Ravid who wrote the Sogas on the Rambam, the Ravid wrote a sefer about Taras HaMishpacha, that's quoted every other page in Hilchas Nida, the Balei HaNefesh. So in the Hakdama to the sefer, he has a fascinating comment on Parshas Bereishis, that it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the animals, Zohar Nekeva Baros, and he created male and female. When it comes to Adam, man, he created Adam and he created Chava from Adam. Why didn't he create Zohar Nekeva separately? So he says that there's a natural tendency for the body to reject any foreign body. We didn't know this until they started making organ transplants. When they put a transplant of someone else's organ into my body, it's a foreign body, so there's always a problem of rejection. So the doctors had to figure out how to prevent the rejection. And I remember once I attended a bar mitzvah of a boy. The parents waited many, many years. They went to fertility doctors, cost them a fortune of money, till they had this child. And then when I had the bar mitzvah, so I participated in the suda. So we were sitting at the same table with the doctor, the fertility doctor who helped them. So he mentioned mitoch hadvarim that the doctors consider this a ness. They don't understand how come. The body has a tendency to reject all foreign matters, except the woman's body doesn't reject the zera habal. That they consider that a ness. Sometimes it does reject. Sometimes, I remember there was a case, I live in Washington Heights, there was a couple, that the wife's body was allergic to the husband's sperm, so they could never have any children. I remember there was a couple who lived in the Heights for a few years. They were both going to graduate school, they didn't have any children, and then they moved. They left and they didn't have any children. So after they left, someone spilled the beans and they said what the story was, that this couple decided to postpone having children till after they finished graduate school. They didn't want the children to get in the way. And then after they finished, he or she, whatever, someone finished graduate school, so then they decided they want to have children, and it wasn't going. So then after a while, they went to a fertility doctor. A fertility doctor told them that she has this quirk. Her body is allergic to his sperm. And if they would have not waited so long, if they would have attempted to have children when they first got married, they probably would have been able to have children. But because they waited so long, so now it's just never going to happen. That's why when people ask me, they say they got married and they want to know, can they postpone having children? So I just tell them this story. So I say, if the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to give you a present, he wants to give you a gift of babies, so don't say thank you very much, wait over here for a few years, I'll come back and I'll pick up the gift. If he wants to give you a gift, say thank you and take the gift right away. Don't postpone having children. I was going to be with college and graduate school, so that's what the grandparents are there for. The grandparents are supposed to help babysit, supposed to help with a little money. I'm from the grandparents' union. Grandparents are supposed to help out a little bit. Shouldn't postpone having children. So the Rebbe writes like this. If the Rebbeinu Shlom would have created Zohar Nekeva separately, then there would have been a rejection over here. Then Adam and Chava wouldn't be able to blend together to be one. We want for Hayu L'Basar Echad. They should be able to blend in together. There should be a unity. So because Chava was made from Adam, that's what makes it possible to have an institution of marriage, that the husband and the wife should be able to blend in together, to function, to be together. So that's what the interpretation was given. The Gemara says, Menchilo Adam and Machshava Livrishtayim, means that that was the ultimate goal. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants man and woman to have different roles in life. Each one has to do something different. Shouldn't always be lovey-dovey, hanging on top of each other, breathing on top of each other. But the Besov, Bara Achas, in order to bring about that result, they had to create Chava from Adam, that there shouldn't be this issue of rejection. So really, when a person is looking for a shidduch, he should keep in mind, look for a balabasta who knows how to cook food, who knows it. You need a cheerful girl if you're going to marry a serious goat. Everyone in life goes through difficulties. Nobody has it easy. Everybody has some problems. If you're going to marry a serious girl, then when some serious issue is going to come up, the girl's going to fall into a deep depression. You have to have a cheerful girl to begin with. So when life will be a little difficult, she'll be serious. Some of the girls I went out with were big kibbutzes. Too much of a kibbutz at a geichadish. Not too healthy. You have to have a girl with a good sense of humor. The pasuk says, "Sheker achem behebel ayoyfi, isha yiras Hashem hi tisalo." Many of the commentaries explain, "Isha yiras Hashem hi tisalo bechein leyoyfi." Beauty is a mila in a girl, but that shouldn't be the main mila. You shouldn't be looking for a movie star. We're so influenced by the movies and by TV, so the boys think they have to marry a movie star, someone like in the movies. That's terrible. The movie stars don't have happy marriages. They're always written up in the newspaper, going from one husband to the other husband. Their marriages don't last. It is a mila to marry an attractive girl. I think my wife is the most beautiful girl in the world. When sometimes you'll see her, you see she's very attractive after 41 grandchildren, she's still very attractive. After 9 children, 41 grandchildren, she's still very good looking. But I remember when I was going out on dates, so some of the boys in the dormitory would know whom I was going out with. I didn't tell them, but they heard from someone else. So they would tell me, oh, she's a very good looking girl, oh, she's not good looking. When I met the girls, I had a totally different judgment. The girls who were balas chesed, the girls who had midas tavis, my impression was that they were very good looking. The girls who seemed to be arrogant, who were not didn't have midas tovus, I didn't think that they were good looking. And I think that's the way to judge. It is important that the girl should be good looking, as the Mefarshim say, Sherek Achein and Hevel Ayefi, if that's all, Isha Yeres Hashem, Hita Salol, Bechein and Yofi. You need a girl who has Chein and has Yofi, but it should be together with the Yeres Shemayim. Rabbi Hirsch, Rabbi Sansom Rabbi Hirsch, has a comment, an interesting comment in one of his essays. Forgot the name of the book. He has a collection of essays in a volume. I don't have the book at home. I just remember when I was in the dormitory, my roommate had it. I read that one chapter. So he says that the Maskilim always made fun of the Gemara. Maskilim made fun. The Gemara learns that, those who know the first daf in Kiddushin, the Gemara learns that the institution of Kiddushin Kesef from Gzer Shavah, Kicha Kicha Mr. Ephraim, it says, Kiikach Ishisha, when a man gets married. How do you do Kiikach? Here it says, Vaskalatza Lokach Miyodah, that Avram Avinu, in the beginning of Chaisa, Avram Avinu bought Sdei Ephraim Bekesef. So just like Sdei Ephraim was purchased Bekesef, so too the man buys his wife Bekesef. So the Maskilim made fun of the rabbinic perception of marriage. The farmer buys a wife like he buys real estate. He buys a wife and then he can do whatever he wants. So Rabbi Hirsch says he doesn't think that's what the rabbis were trying to convey. In fact, those of you who may remember in Kiddushin, there's a dispute in Chosha Mishpah between the Taz and the Sma. When you buy karka is nicknas bekesef. When you pay the money, why does that work? Is that kesef piraon? You're paying the value of the whole field? And if the field is worth $1 million and you just give a pruto, so the din is that you kind of carcass nicknames, but pruto, that's only if you zaka follow benilva, that you don't know the rest of the money, betoris piron de mea mekach, yod betoris chov stam, because the kesef is kind of kesef piron de mea mekach. Or no, kesef kinyan, it's a symbolic act, has nothing to do with kesef piron. So the Taz says, it's ridiculous to say that it's kesef piron de mea mekach. Well, they're not kicha, kicha mistey Ephraim. So what do you mean? The husband gives his wife a ring? The ring sells in the store for $350. So the wife is worth $350. Either she's priceless or she's worthless. But she ain't worth $350. So that's not kesef piron de mea mekach. He's not paying to buy a wife. But the Taz said such a double poshut like that. When you buy a wife, you're not buying a wife. You're not paying money to the girl's father, paying money to the girl to buy the wife. It's a symbolic act. He made a kinyan kesef. And it's chal ishus, it's not chal a kinyan. There's certainly no kinyan mammon. There's even a dispute, is there a kinyan iser? Those are no kiddushin, some achleks, it's a pnei Yeshua, and the avdim eluim, and the machesh is right, so there's two opinions in the Yerushalmi. But a kinyan mammon there certainly isn't, just a machlekes amarayim, and a machlekes achreinim, where there's even a kinyan iser. So it's not, when the rabbis, Rabbi Hirsch points out, when the rabbis learned that kicha, kicha mistehefen, they didn't mean that the farmer buys a wife like he buys real estate. No, it's not at all. Why do they want to learn Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephraim? They wanted everyone to realize you have to honor your wife so much, like Avraham Avinu honored his wife, even Lacha Moisa, that he was willing to spend so much money to have her buried in such a royal cemetery plot. The Gemara says the husband has to be oivisish kugufa mechabda yosem igufa. He has to love his wife very much. He has to be mechabda the wife very much. So during his lifetime, for sure, he has to be mechabda yosem igufa. What does mean mechabda? So a lot of people make a mistake. They think you hold the door for your wife. She should go first. Or you help her put on her mink coat. Or you help her put on her coat. Or you hold the chair for her when she's going to sit down, so you put the chair. That's not what it means mechabda. Mechabda means to spend money. If you have only a little bit of money, the person just barely makes a living, and then he gets a bonus at the end of the year. December 25th, the boss gives out a bonus. So he can either use the bonus to buy himself another suit, or use the bonus to buy his wife another outfit, so the wife has kedima. Unless the wife already has 140 dresses, and he only has two suits, one for Shabbos, one for weekdays, then he comes first. But everything else is equal. The mechabda yosem megufa. Kavod means money. It doesn't mean holding the door and holding the coat for her. It means to spend money on your wife. People make a mistake. The Bochum all say, you don't marry the parents, you're marrying the girl. It's a big mistake. You do marry the parents. you're going to be stuck with those in-laws for the rest of your life. If the in-laws are not religious, they don't keep kosher, they don't keep Shabbos, so you'll be missing so much. You won't have someone to go visit for Shabbos and Yom Tov. And if the in-laws are religious, but the siblings are not religious, so you'll also be missing. Why should you cheat yourself? I married a lovely girl, this good-looking girl, most beautiful girl in the world, and she has a brother and three sisters, so we always had a bris and a pinyan ben and a shalom zocher and a sheva brachas and a chasana. It was always lebedik freilach. We always had my in-laws to go visit for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Everything was kosher, it was fine. My father-in-law happened to be a Talmid Chacham. The Gemara recommends you should marry a Bas Talmid Chacham. The Gemara says, why? Simply, in case you will die early, chalila v'chalila, in case the husband should die early, the wife should know how to raise the children. She was a Bas Talmid Chacham, she'll know how to raise the children as Talmid Chachamim, as Yirei Shamayim. Shouldn't have such an attitude. You don't care if the girl's parents are observant, you don't care if the brothers and sisters are observant, you marry the girl, you don't marry the family. That's not true. Why should you cheat yourself? Marry a girl who has a nice religious family. You should get more for your money. Why shouldn't you get everything? We're so influenced by the movies and by the outside world. People tell me that this is scandalous. People tell me that boys who are interested in dating, so someone wants to set them up with a girl, so they'll ask, what size dress did the girl wear? A boy asks such a question, what size dress? Or what size bra the girl has? A person talks like that. They tell me that now, sometimes the boys' mothers call on the phone, and they ask, what size dress this girl has? That's scandalous. You meet a nice girl, so she's a little too skinny, a little too heavy. So you'll see, what about the midas tavis? The most important thing is the midas tavis of the girl, not what size dress she wears. True, shekachem behevel ayyafi, isha yiras Hashem hi tesal b'cheinu b'yayfi, b'cheinu b'yayfi. But the main thing is the yiras shamayim, the main thing is the midas tavis that she has, the main thing is the midas achesed. The Gemara recommends that when a person marries, he should marry a girl who's a little lower than his status in society, so the wife will be able to look up to him. It's healthier like that, that the wife should look up to the husband. A lot of times the husband marries a girl who is higher in society. It'll work out, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there were prominent Talmid Chachamim in recent years that everybody knew about, that the girl was a Bas Talmid Chacham, and she thought her father was the greatest. Is it true? Her father was the greatest Talmid Chacham in the generation, and she looked down on her husband. So the husband never amounted to anything, because the wife never encouraged him to get ahead. She thought, he's never going to be like my father. So she looked down on the husband. That's terrible. You have to marry a girl who's going to encourage you to reach greater heights. So that's why the Gemara recommends Nechoz Dargo and Esivitza. You should marry a girl who has a slightly lower level in society. The Gemara says about spending money on your wife, that's what it means. Mechabda Yos Meguf, Mechabda means to spend money. That's in the context in the Gemara in Bab Metzia. So the Gemara says, Akira Nishaichu, you should honor your wives by spending money. Kehecha Ditti Sasru, it's a Zgula for Ashiris. No lachsidish is farm in Europe, that's what they used to quote. If you spend money on your wife, that'll be a zgula for Ashiras. The Mishnah Brura writes, and Hilchos Shabbos, he writes it, in his other farm, he also writes it. It has to be within reason. If you're gonna blow in all your money on your wife, then you're not going to have any money to live. So then it'll be ridiculous. And don't think you'll be able to take on another job. Men HaShamayim, it's Nigzar, in the beginning of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says in Beitza, it's nigzar how much money you're going to earn in a year. So don't spend too much money on your wife. But again, if you have a bonus of $350, and it's a choice between buying something for the husband or buying something for the wife, so the Gemara says the wife comes first, that's what it means. And that's the school of Hashiras, the Gemara says a pasuk and chumash. The Gemara says the husband is b'chayv b'kvayd ishta and the wife is b'chayv to be mechabed the husband. Shouldn't they cancel each other out? The answer is no, they're two different things. Wife is Mukhid Bikvait Habal means to look up to the husband, to respect him. The Rambam says to consider the husband like a sar, but it means to help him out in the business. If the husband needs a little business, a little help in the business, so the wife should help him out. The husband has to be mechabed the wife. That means he should spend money on his wife. They're two different kinds of mechabed. Two different kinds of being mechabed. The Gemara has a klal, learned that from a pasuk in Chumash, Oilu ima ve'ini yored esimai. Let's say the boy's family was very wealthy, and they always went to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, and they always went to Mexico for Sukkot, whatever. They always were vacationing. And the wife's family was poor people, and they can never go anywhere. And now the husband is making out very well. Let's say the reverse. The husband's family was very poor and the wife's family was very wealthy. They're always gone away for Yom Tovim. Husband's family was never able to do it. And now the husband is wealthy. The husband is able to. So whoever had the higher standard of living, whether the husband's family or the wife's, so the wife is entitled that the husband should treat her according to the higher standard. That's called Oile Imo Be'eni Yeredesim. She goes up to the higher level, if he can afford it, of course, and if his family had the highest standard of living, he's mukhiyev to entertain a wife like that. If his family had the lowest standard of living, and her family had all the money, and now the husband has money, so he's mukhiyev to treat the wife the higher of the two standards. Usually the friction begins, the Gemara says this, and we know in life that this is true. Friction in a marriage begins when there's no money. So that people have to, husband has to be careful that he should make up parnasa. Husband is obligated to make up parnasa. He signed a niksuva, no eflach v'oika, I will get a job and I will support my wife. So in America it's self-understood, if the husband is going to go to medical school or to law school or to graduate school, whatever, so the first couple of years of marriage it's understood, husband is not going to be making a living and the wife is going to earn some money to help out. That's understood. That's not a violation of the agreement. I will get a job and support my wife. Means within reason, after I finish graduate school. Same thing to learn in a kailul. If the wife goes along and the husband wants to sit and learn a couple of years, it's like Gora from law school or from medical school. But the husband shouldn't expect that, unless the wife expressed her desire that that's the case. The husband shouldn't expect that the wife should support him forever. And the Ksubit says he's going to support his wife. Rabbi Akiva had a marvelous wife. She told him to go, when they got married, she told him to go learn in the yeshiva. I forgot already how many years. 7 years, 12 years, I forgot. Then when he came back, she told him to go back another 12 years. Wonderful. Okay, that's marvelous. But that's going to be a cause for friction. If the husband is not going to take responsibility to make up parnasa and to help raise the children, that's not right. It's understood the husband has such an obligation. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes the Cherem HaKadmonim. The Cherem was instituted in the days of the early Rishonim, late Gaonim. Shalo lahakos hasishta, you're not allowed to hit your wife. What do you mean? Until they made the Cherem, it was a mitzvah to hit your wife, a mitzvah to beat up your wife. Then they made a Cherem. No, it was always an Avera. It's an Avera deraisa to hit any person. La Yosef ben Yosef. But they never had a Cherem. Cherem means a curse that the person should drop dead. The Gemara says this is not a Bala term. Cherem is Osias Ramach. It's a curse that's nichnas into the Ramach Evarim, into the 248 Evarim, that the person should die. And if Bezin puts a person in Cherem and he dies, we treat him like Harugi Bezin. And the family doesn't sit Shiva, like the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin. Harugi Bezin, Bavad Rishayim Rina. The children are supposed to celebrate, they're not supposed to observe Avelis. So there always was a prohibition. It's always an issa to hit your wife, to hit any Jewish person. It's certainly an issa there, I said, but there never was a cherem that he should drop dead. So the Kadmonim introduced a cherem. So the Gemara says a person has to be careful. Shalala hakas asishta, that's a double posha, that not. The Gemara says you're not allowed to scream at your wife. In the neighborhood near YU, so a lot of the young couples all live in the same apartment building. So some of them tell me, they're screaming, Koilas, the next door neighbor is screaming at the wife, why are we screaming at the other, screaming out loud. It's a ridiculous marriage. Ridiculous marriage. They're screaming at each other. Yeah. You have to be respectful of your in-laws. The two main causes for divorce. My father used to be the head of the RCA Bezin for many years, and he used to always have gittin. In fact, he used to say jokingly that from his experience, he sees the more people getting divorced than getting married, because he didn't get so many invitations to weddings. He was always by gittin every week, a couple of gittin. More people getting divorced than getting married. That was his line. So he always would try to ascertain what's the cause for divorce. So the main two causes were money. The Gemara says when you run out of money, and in-law trouble. In-law trouble when one of the spouses is disrespectful for the in-laws, or when the in-laws stick in their 2 cents. So when you'll be in-laws, when you'll marry off your children, don't give the children any guidance. Let them figure out on their own the mistakes. They don't want to learn from your own mistakes. They want to learn from their own mistakes. Zalbeitchi used to tell over this story that a couple came to him with Shalom Bayis problems. They weren't getting along. So he spoke to both of them. He realized that the boy's mother was sticking in her 2 cents. So he said he has to speak to her. He called her up on the phone. He said she should come speak to them. So she comes. So he says, Mrs. Weiss, I think, he said in Yiddish, you should stop giving the children eitzes. Don't give any eitzes to the children and they'll have a happy marriage. So she said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, who's giving eitzes? We're just giving advice. You're not allowed to give advice either. You shouldn't give eitzes, you should give advice. So that's one issue of in-law trouble. When the parents start giving advice, that's going to be going to have a negative effect. But the children have to be respectful of the parents. The Mishnah says, whenever a couple gets divorced, the husband has to pay ksuba, unless he can ascertain that it was the wife's fault for ruining the marriage. When is it considered the wife's fault? So one example is, she doesn't want to go to mikveh. One example is, she doesn't want to have children. That's what marriage is all about. If she doesn't want to keep Shabbos, that's not grounds for divorce. If she doesn't want to... Let's say when they got married, they weren't religious. So it was assumed she's not going to go to mikveh. Then all of a sudden, the husband becomes a bal tshuva, and he wants to divorce his wife because she's not going to mikveh. So then he has to pick suba. That wasn't part of the original deal. They're talking if they got married and it was assumed that she's going to be observant, so then if she doesn't want to cover her hair, that's grounds for divorce because she has to act with tznius. If that was assumed, they're going to get married, she's going to cover her hair. Then the Mishnah has another example, Mekalelas Yolda Bifanov. If the wife is disrespectful to her in-laws, that's considered she ruined the marriage. She's responsible for ruining the marriage. A marriage, the family unit, holds together and has to be based on kibbutz avim. You have to have respect for your parents, respect for your in-laws. If you've got to be disrespectful to your in-laws or disrespectful for your parents, then your family unit is going to fall apart. Your children won't be respectful of you, so the whole family unit will fall apart. So that's very important. A lot of Americans call their in-laws by the first name. That's against the din, you're not allowed to. A lot of times the parents want that. They want to feel young, so they want their children to call them by the first name, as if they're 25 years younger. You're not allowed to do that. Even if the parents want it, you're not allowed to do that. Rav Soloveitchik once got very upset about that. He said, it's not permissible even if the mother is mechalana kovet. It's not proper. And then the Gemara says, "Alzos yispalu kolchosin leis mitzo, zu isha matzo isha matzo toy." You have to be mispalo. You have to daven. You have to daven for a shidduch. The Gemara says, "In the end of nida, mayasa adam. What should a person do to be successful in business?" So the Gemara says, "Do A, B, C, and then offer tefillos." Mayasa adam shiyula banim zecharim. He wants to have children, and he has girls. He wants to have boys also. The Gemara says, do A, B, C, medical recommendations, biological recommendations. Then it says, Vivakish Rachman, you have to be mispal. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Azos yispal kochosid la'es mitzo, you have to daven for a good shidduch. You have to be mispal that you shouldn't fall in, and you shouldn't look for superficial, nourisher things. And you should get a good balabasta, and you should have shalom bayis. You have to be mispal for everything in life. That's called Yichud Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. Yichud Hashem means not only we believe in one God, monotheism, as opposed to the Catholics who believe in more than one God, as opposed to all the other Avodah of the Avodah Zarah, believe in more than one God. Yichud Hashem means etc. Yichud Hashem means that God is in full control of everything in the world. And if you need something, you have to speak to Him. He loves us, He knows our situation, and He listens to our prayers. So we have to, a lot of times people in life, they always butter up this one, they always butter up that one, they always chant for this one in order to get ahead. That's part of the story. But the main hishtadlus should be, we should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should help us out. So one of the things that the Gemara says explicitly that you have to daven for is a good shidduch. You have to be mispalka. These is bekitzah, some of the recommendations about dating and marriage. So what was the recommendation before? We should have questions now, or I should give another shiur on something. What was again the suggestion?
Questions.
Questions.
We can do questions now, yeah.
Good.